30, verse 18 for a moment. If you're fairly new, you're visiting here, when we come together in a morning like this, we have a leader who hosts, like Hannes just did. We encourage everyone to bring contributions as they feel God leading them, like, you know, what we believe gifts of the Holy Spirit would be. One of us would usually prepare a message of sorts. And we bring all of that kind of together and we say, okay, Lord, lead us, help us. We wanna be aware of what you are doing. And so we don't believe that the guy preaching has the only word of God for the morning. Different people as they bring encouragements. And so all these little almost nuggets, little words are oftentimes where God wants to specifically touch on certain people's lives, bring some understanding, or he wants to reveal something more than what the guy who prepared heard. Because God loves to do it with everyone together. He doesn't like using just one guy. It's just not how he is. Even himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, he loves the togetherness. And just that way, we were praying for our eyes to see. And it felt as I was praying that a number of people here were specifically praying also for blind spots in themselves. You know, all the stuff where you're wrong. And while that is part of sometimes seeing, that there's an aspect of God that I believe he also wants to reveal. In Isaiah 30, verse 18 says this, "Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him." Sometimes we need to hear it kind of like in common day or everyday language. So I like to read in this version. It says, "But God's not finished. He's waiting around to be gracious to you. He's gathering strength to show mercy to you. God takes the time to do everything right. Everything. Those who wait around for him are the lucky ones." And you see those two blind men, kind of everyone walking past, Jesus walking past, and they do not allow the moment to go by them. And they have this understanding of God that Jesus would heal them, that Jesus would show grace to them. And there's this image here in this scripture that Jesus is, ach, not Jesus, but God is, the Hebrew word also is almost kind of like anxious, hy is ongeduldig om genade te wys. He's waiting to do it. You know, when he's anticipating to show grace. He's come. They've got to, I need to walk past those two blind guys so that I can heal them. I need to. And there are things that God is busy with in your and my life that he's with waiting with anticipation for you to just say, "Son of David, have mercy." It's just waiting for you to turn your heart, to open your eyes and my eyes so that he can pour his grace, that he can show grace to it. And that word was specifically given to a nation. And, you know, they weren't asking for God's grace. And he said, "No, I will forgive you. I will help you." But sometimes by various things that we go through life, whatever people do say this, you forget that. And that forgetfulness brings a sense of blindness to. And you just don't look for where God can help you anymore. And you try and go and do it yourself, and then you'll come back to God to report to him how you helped yourself. And you just want to thank him for how you could help yourself. It just doesn't make sense. He wants to do it with you. He wants to be with us in everything. And him being with us is also this call that we can look at him and trust him for everything. I want to ask if you can maybe look at the person next to you. If you don't know them, introduce yourself to them. And then you just tell them, this message is for me. All right, so I know the temptation is to, this morning you're going to think, oh, I wish that one was here, I wish that one, or you're going to poke your husband or your wife kind of in the ribs and say, you've got to, it's for you, all right? It's for you, and if God has not already spoken some things into your heart, I hope He does with the rest of this word. Earlier the week, I've got three boys, two of them on primary school, and the grade one had a rugby game. We went there into the Kraaifontein area, and at the school, they're busy playing, and if you've seen grade one rugby, it basically consists of a ball and a ball of children around the ball, and they move, and every now and again, one pops up, and he kind of tries to run like a circle around the other friends or so. And then there's another ball around the ball. And so they continue. And around it, you have a bunch of parents yelling and screaming like it's the 95 World Cup and the Springboks are playing. And I forgot. There's usually one or two boys, usually one in each team, that is a dream child. He's a dream player. And he's looking at the grass, and the ball is moving, and he is some other planet. So, I've got this, and now my son is playing the next game, but some of his friends are playing this. And at some stage, one of the little boys, they in the ruck, and they're going, and you've got the parents screaming, and it's, and the one gets the ball, and he runs. And he's running to the try line. And it's amazing because he got out and there's no one in front of him. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a little boy. It's like, it's just, I mean, the focus, the tenacity. He is seeing, you know, everything. And he's going to score. And he scores the try. And, you know, the other friends on the sideline, they all run. And they do that, you know, then one is like, what? They do that floss thing. The other one is dabbing, and the other one, you know, and they've got all these little jerks that they have. And they, only to find out that the boy ran to the wrong try line. That's why there was no one tackling him. But, this moment was just so funny because you had some of the spectators also, they congratulating their teammates. He scored a try, just hit the wrong try line. And oftentimes, you know, we all in the rugby game, we're in this game of life. If you believe in Jesus, you're in this proverbial game of Christianity. You're playing, and there's the good and evil, and we've got the different things taking place, and we've all got to participate. And, you know, we've got some Christians that sit on chairs and they don't do much. They may be here on the side, they shouting and screaming, and you've got the whole thing playing. And every now and again, just the fact that you're playing is good, but we run to the wrong side, and you even have people that, you know, congratulate you because at least you did something. And we've over the last season, we've touched on aspects of the gospel. We've touched on baptism. We've touched on, you know, just last weekend, we had these wonderful testimonies of just seeing how God's involved in people's lives. And, you know, how God comes to show love to people like you and me. And you don't always have all the answers or so, but He comes to, that we can walk with Him and follow Him. And so there's a continued next step that needs to take place in following Jesus. I think it's very important to see that when Jesus came and He walked on earth, He called people to follow Him, to walk with Him, to take steps in a direction that would change their lives. And today in our lives, as we're in the game of life, as we're in the eternal life, we've got to take steps in the right direction. We've got to take steps towards the right try line, to eternity. And we can easily get distracted. We can easily lose track of or become blind to the real try line and run to another try line. A scripture that we touched on quite often in last term specifically was 1 Peter 2, verse 2 to 3. It says, like newborn infants, long for the spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So it says that by it you can grow up in salvation. For me, that means that salvation is not just a one-off moment. It's not a moment only when maybe some of you have raised your hand, you prayed a prayer, you asked for forgiveness. There, certain things were in that moment, and it was glorious. Even last week, we had a few people that just committed their lives to just say, I want to follow Jesus. And so we oftentimes term that as, you got saved. And it's right, and it's like, but it's also not right. You got into the game, but now there's next steps that need to take place. And so in salvation, we need to grow up. We need to mature in it. Hannes made this, you know, ghastly comment this morning of the old people and the young people. And we've become more diplomatic and, you know, politically correct, and we say mature people. You know, will the mature people stand up in there? But maturity and maturing is a process of lots of little steps in the right direction. Not all of them always right. Sometimes mistakes. Sometimes you go here and there. But ultimately in the right direction of either going to the next grade, to the next season of life, to the next, and there's a next step that needs to take place. And when you stop, that's when you stagnate and you actually don't grow anymore. And that's why we oftentimes find the more mature people and maybe have a few gray hairs or a beard or this or that, but they act like 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds. You know, we have different aspects. And every now and again, I find myself and I, in my mind's eye, I almost see myself throwing a temper tantrum. And usually how it plays out is God's chuckling at me. Then I get even more mad. Because he's not now getting involved. And I know in my heart, Ruan, you're just throwing a temper tantrum. You're acting like a little child. But I'm not supposed to. And it's a moment where I now need to take the next step into maturing. It says, we're born by the Spirit and we grow by the Spirit. Galatians 3 verse 3 would put it in these words. It says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? These are people that they all got born again, they got saved, but then they tried to go and do a bunch of religious stuff that weren't really part of faith and growing in salvation. It just looked right. They wanted to keep all the feasts. The guys wanted to get circumcised. They needed to do certain, wear certain clothes and, you know, look the deal. And Paul writes to them and says, guys, whoa, whoa, whoa. That same faith, that's crying out, that saying, Lord, open my eyes, that same heart you need to continually have in growing in salvation, taking the next step. It's not like God saves you and then he leaves you and say, go, I'll get you at the end mark. No, he wants us to run with him. He wants to run side by side, that we know in which direction to run, and also that we can have the strength to run the course that he has called for us. So we live in the Spirit. Every single human being is created with a spirit. Some are just dead to God and others alive to God. And when the end comes and you are still dead to God, you will be eternally dead. And so on earth, we have opportunity to become alive to God. And we call that, you know, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was asleep, but now I'm awake. I once was dead, but now I live. And we use those kind of analogies to explain something that happens in the Spirit. The kingdom of God. And so when we are alive in God, there's got to be certain signs, certain elements to our lives that shows us that, hey, I am with God. The Bible speaks in Romans 8 where it says our spirit witnesses with His spirit that Abba, Father, that we are children of God. So your heart must say, yes, Abba, Father, Lord. There's an awareness of God. There's a knowing of His voice. You might not know everything. I loved how last week Mike Foster was speaking of how he didn't really know how God was speaking or so, but all of a sudden it started to open up and he's getting to know the language, the voice. He's getting to hear in a sense, and it's a heart thing. Knowing His voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. Signs of divine involvement. Can you testify of God's involvement in your life? That you are aware He's done this. Because we usually testify of provision. You know, oftentimes we testify of finance. But not just that provision. Provision to be able to forgive someone. Provision to be able to bless someone. To speak a kind word. To come and encourage. To come to be awake in this life where God is. So can you testify to that? Because you've been brought into the kingdom. And so, this morning, I want to touch on, or more encourage, not kind of so much deal with each gift, but just the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of the blessings the Holy Spirit gives us, because the next step for us, depending on where you are, you've got to walk by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is following Jesus. But it's also got an element to it where God gives you gifts. He gives you certain things that is in Him. He manifests Himself through you in ways that will bless people. And I believe God wants to call all of us to wake up to that. Ephesians 5 verse 14 in die Afrikaans sê, en alles waarvan die ware karakter aan die lig kom, is selflig. Daarom sê die lied, word wakker, jy wat slaap, staan op uit die dood, en Christus sal jou verlig. Now, when I was a teenager, a few components that were very important to my life, sleep was one of them, because I was growing. Growing person needs sleep. But it was always nice to have something sweet before you go to bed. Unfortunately, I haven't left that spot yet. But my mom used to every now and again buy condensed milk. Now, the big challenge is to be able to slowly and without notice them noticing, get the condensed milk that's inside the can, out of the can, but the condensed milk can still stays there. Because it usually stays there for a long time until whenever we... So you would make a little needle hole on the one side, a little needle on the other side. Condensed milk was always high in the fridge, so you won't see... So then you would... You know, with the two holes, it goes quick. So it's like quick extraction. And then go. But the one day I got slack in my thieving, so I took the can because I was very tired. I slept there in the kind of corner of the house, and I drank it, fell asleep, only to wake up with the kicking. Wat wakker? Wat wakker jou? And But she, my mother said something, but she didn't swear, but I know it wasn't kind words. But it was a rude awakening. Because I mixed up my mother's plans for a dessert of sorts, but I was being kicked. And then there have been other times where I, and the coffee smell, it's next to me. My dad would always come and kind of try and tickle me and, you know, be like irritating. And you just start kicking and like, lost my, and then he plucks the whole duvet off. And but we need to wake up. And the scripture says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Therefore, do not be foolish. Oh, it says, making the best use of the time, verse 16, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's amazing that we can be successful, we can be healthy, wealthy, we can be even committed, we can be all part of the rugby game, the ruck, and we can be foolish at the same time running to the wrong try line. And Jesus, in his desire to show grace, God in his nature, he's anticipating, where can I show grace? Where can I give of myself? He is calling, says, wake up. Wake up, O sleeper. Kom, word wakker, word wakker. For some, he'll say, kom, jou skommejak, word wakker. You know, you've been sleeping so long. You are mature in one sense, but you've gone young and immature in this one area. Let's rise up. It's interesting that it says, wake up and then the Lord will shine on you. Some of us are waiting for Jesus to fall on us on something and then I'll do it. If he forces me, we love free will, but if Jesus forces me, I will do it. I don't really want to, but you know, like, no, he's calling us into his mission, into his great spiritual work. And for that, our eyes need to be opened. Because what blinds us are buildings, budgets, numbers, success in the outward blinds us to the Spirit. He speaks of a spiritual house. I've seen bits of it. I want to tell you, if our eyes aren't open to that, you'll be lured into the blind ball game. Running to the wrong try line. God has spoken about a kingdom of darkness and transferring us into a kingdom of light where we can see. This is awake. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. It's like this part of being light, part of seeing, it says, pursue love. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Come, guys, you who call yourself, and I'm speaking to Ruan. We who call ourselves mature, we who call ourselves, we've been in this for a long time. Can we gauge the earnestly desire barometer, or what do you call that in English? Barometer, ne? The barometer. How are you desiring spiritual gifts at this stage? Or has the busyness of life, the season of parenting, the pressure of the budget, the boss that's screaming for the deadline, has he or they blinded us to the desire that God is calling us to? This desire, pursue love. How does that look like? It's not just God's love for me. It is God's love for those around me, through me. Pursue love. If he made us in his image, you agree with that? It says, according to his likeness, if he made us in his image, if he is a generous God, what would we be then? If he's a God that is anticipating and is looking to show grace, and we are made in his image, what are we to be like then? But that's where the blindness comes in. That's where the death comes in. Is the lie that says you are not that. You are a stingy, ungracious, judging, cannot celebrate other people's breakthrough, always fending for yourself type of person. You don't have what it takes. And in some sense, without God, we don't. But with God, we have. And so when the writers of the Bible call us and they encourage us to these things, pursue love, earnestly desire the gifts, when they call us to awake, O sleeper, they are calling us to the identity that we have in Christ Jesus, to the likeness that we have to Jesus. Because Jesus rising up from the dead was not just to forgive you of your sins. He took a next step. And the next step was to show himself to some of the disciples, many. And then he took another next step. And he said, I'll see you soon. We are still trying to define it through Webster's dictionary, what soon according to Jesus means. But we realize that it's not our timing. But that next step was not only a cloud walk, moonwalk type of thing of him just going. That next step entitled us to the Holy Spirit. A gift that he poured out on all flesh. That he gave so that you and I can be like him and walk like him. No one will be Jesus. There's only one Savior. There's one man, the intercessor, Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in Romans, it says he is the first among many. And his plan is to conform us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. To bring us into a place where we too say, Father, let it be unto us according to your will. We have been born again into your likeness. We are to reveal your likeness on earth, in Melkbos, in the Brandt house, in the Jordan house, in the Baker house, in the Oxley house, in the every household represented here. If you are single, married, or whatever your status, relational status is at this stage, God has that for you, together with his church. And you and I have been called to take the next step. And take the next step. And take the next step. And follow him, that we can be like him. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4 says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in every one. All right, so God is empowering. God is the source. God is the one. We don't go to any others. And sometimes we are tempted that when the man of the hour with power of God comes, he has. And God has graced us to in some way be able to impart and help people to help access it. But ultimately, it's Jesus. And so our kind of core faith cannot rest on people. It's a sure recipe for disappointment, disillusionment. And if you've been a Christian for a little while, you've probably experienced it already. Okay, so he wants our faith to be in him, but we need to walk with one another. And he says, he's working it. And then he says, to each is given, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. To be edifying. He's not giving it just to each individual alone. He's giving it for the common good. Jesus came for the world. When he died on the cross and raised from the dead, it was for the person next to you who this message is not for, because this message is for you. He did it for everyone. When he poured out his spirit, it was for all flesh. Some will receive it, some won't, but it was for everyone. And God wants to use you and me for the common good. The common good. To be a blessing. That's why he calls Abraham our father of the faith. Because to Abraham he said, I will bless you to be a blessing. It never stops with you. When it stops with you, you become an obstruction to the process. It's amazing that when, I think I've shared some of it, but when we moved here, the day we moved, you remember almost all hell broke loose the day we moved to Malpus. Because the devil knew if we get to a wonderful place like this, man, it's problems. So our youngest boy, he was quite nauseous for a few days and just different, but we didn't think much of it. I mean, children go through ups and downs. And then at some stage, he just lost a lot of power or strength. And moving trucks are here. I'm busy. My father-in-law helping here and there. And then he collapsed. Ina and my mother-in-law rushes to the hospital. They keep the boy there for, they think he's got gastro. And it was just a very bad experience. But ultimately, when they took him in to get a drip, he had a... he just started giving off blood and stuff like that. And the surgeon just like pushed Ina out of there. So you get it out now. And he had an emergency operation. And the problem was what they call an intussusception. It is like your intestine, those slinky toys? It's kind of like it goes inside itself. It's like the intestine goes inside itself and then it causes an obstruction then. So the stuff can't go through. When we allow blessing not to move through us, it causes an obstruction. Now, every now and again, as we sit here, because we're many, there are a few obstructions here because of whatever you experienced or maybe your current emotional disposition or so. And you're working through stuff. And God, can I say, is anticipating to show you grace. But because there are more people that are allowing things to flow through, it helps the body. But if the whole body decides to keep the blessing that God gives for the common good, it causes an obstruction. And that body is almost like my boy's body, that he collapses, there's no strength, and it can be fatal. If you don't have people around to run and bring you to a place where there's help, and there's the necessary skills to get you through the process, it's dead. And there are many churches that has experienced it. Because it's the same God that gives to every single believer his spirit. And it's the same God that gives to every single believer purpose and a destiny that they would walk in, and gifts. But there are churches, there are gatherings where those people are either ignorant, they hurt, they disappointed, gone through different things, that they can't allow the blessing, they can't receive it anymore, and they can't let it flow, and it dies. Awake, O sleeper. Word wakker. Word wakker. I tell you, with our little boy, when we were rushing, said, kom maar on, wakker word, wakker word. Kom maar on, wakker. Because you're anticipating, this is not, it's urgent. It's urgent. And here and there, I'm giving in a joke or so, and I'm trying to lighten it sometimes, because I know sometimes when things are too serious for us, we struggle to deal with it. But I don't want it to steal from the urgency of what God wants for your next step. If Peter did not take his next step, if Matthew, when he was called, he was still Levi, and he was called out of that tax collector booth, and he did not take his next step. If Luke, he wasn't there right at that stage. Just checking if you're awake. If John didn't take the next step. If that blind guy didn't take the next step. He heard Jesus is willing, but he didn't take the next step or ask for somebody to take the next step. Wouldn't have had it. And there are moments that friends come alongside us and pull us up, and their next step is to take you into your next step, and I believe that is part. But as each one takes responsibility, not control over your life, but responsibility for your life, there's a big difference. When we get born again, we give control to Jesus. So you are the Lord and Savior. But we are still responsible. That's why we get judged. He's not going to judge us because we're not responsible. That would be unfair. And he's fair. This is responsible. And the way we mature, the way your children, you mature, is taking every decision and making a responsible choice. Maturity comes through making a decision, taking responsibility to make a decision. You make the wrong one, taking the responsibility to say sorry. Make the right one, taking the next step. That's how maturity takes place. Responsible choices. And responsibility is the ability to respond. You and I have that. Pursue love. Pursue, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts for the common good. What can stand in the way? And we end with this. What can stand in the way? What is maybe standing in the way of what is obstructing the flow of blessing in your life? That you cannot express the divine nature with which you have been blessed with. That you can be partakers of. That's what the Bible says. We are partakers of His divine nature through the promises of God. The great and precious promises. Have you read that scripture? Okay, so we can be partakers. We can play the game and run to the right try line. We've got to know His promises, and His promises the Holy Spirit. That's the ultimate promise here. I think one is disappointment. I'm not going to give an exhaustive list this morning. Just what I felt specifically. Disappointment. Disappointment is when an expectation is not met. Married couples? That's how we mature in our relationship. We overcome disappointments. No, but I thought you're going to take out the trash. No. My mom always took out the trash. My dad always took out. And it's two normals coming together, and it's an abnormal. You expect it. No, but I thought you're going to do. You have a little grade one rugby match. Disappointment. Expectations that are not met. The church is like a breeding ground for that. Community is like disappointment on steroids. I mean, like, because you get people, they've got a view of God, they've got certain expectations, and you put them together and it just doesn't work out. And we need to grow in our salvation and work through the disappointment, that expectations that are not met. Disillusionment. So close, these two actually, but disillusionment is particularly a person you respect that did not live up to an expectation. So the one are general expectations, but disillusionment usually happens when a person that you respect, you expected that he would or she would be like this, and that expectation was not met. By virtue of my role here, I will probably be a reason for a lot of disillusionment at some stage. I have been. Because there are certain expectations, realistic or unrealistic, valid or invalid, that gets placed on the pastor. But for that matter, on the father, the mother, the child, the boss, the neighbor, the friend. And when that expectation is not met, you need to work with it. And if you can't work through it, an obstruction comes. And the blessing can't flow anymore. And it comes with hurt, people. It comes with hurt. It's not easy. Third one is neglect. Neglect is not taking care of or giving enough care to that which was entrusted. Something is given to you, and because you neglect it, it breaks or it doesn't work anymore. And here along the coast, it is incredible. The first 2 weeks when we moved in the first 2 weeks, I saw more people spray Q10 on hinges than I saw in my whole life combined. It's like, well, it was amazing. I just, every now and again, here's a guy, Q10, hinges, Q10. Because with the salt water and everything, stuff corrodes quickly. Now, if you neglect something here, it's just quicker. Neglect is leaving some stuff, leaving gifts, leaving stuff that God entrusted you with to bless. Now, there might be ways how you need to give it. And every now and again, you know, somebody comes with a big ministry dream or so, even within the church. And I invite you, come speak with us. Let's see how we can make that happen. And sometimes it might look slightly different than what you are seeing or envisioning. But you've got to give attention to it. Got to work with it for the common good. And then lastly, as you just resist it. That's the spooky stuff, man. Last time that one guy came, the person sitting next to me, he growled at me. They spoke about deliverance of demons and stuff like that. That's most Hollywood does that. And in some way, or somebody came and they had like a prophetic word for you, and it was left field. It was completely wrong. And because of an expectation then not being met, it wasn't of God, you now worked something up and you're resisting all gifts. It's just hype. You actually don't want it because of an experience. And anybody that goes, you resist it. Word wakker. Wake up. God wants us to wake up out of disappointment. Wake up out of disillusionment. Wake up out of neglect. Wake up out of resisting. Wake up so that He can work through you. And that's our next step, Malpostrand. Maybe if you're a visitor here, I want to encourage you, if you're going back to your church, go be a blessing there. If you missed everything, that's this morning. I want to ask you, be a blessing. The blessing that God has made you to be. If you're in Malpostrand, it might be slightly more difficult right now because I know a bit more of your situation. So you need to go into the community this week. Look at that face. Work with that thing. And you just want to go sleep. You just want to lie your head down on the proverbial pillow and sit in the corner and listen to the community leader kind of finding his way through an evening that's boring. And there's why are we doing this? My question to you is, where's your responsibility? What is your responsibility? Because this morning is not for the community leader. This morning is not for that person that caused the disillusionment or disappointment or whatever. This morning is for you. And you've got to respond to the call and the grace of God. God is looking, saying, come on, just reach out. I want to show you grace. I want to give it to you. For some of you, grace is just going to be like, ah, you're forgiven. For some of you, grace is going to be something in your hands that you can go. For some of you, grace this week is one WhatsApp. Just one WhatsApp where you encourage someone that you just, you were thinking of them. For some of you, it's going to be one coffee. For some of you, it's going to be one kind word that you've going to muster up. There is no kind things that you can say to this person, but you will find it if you open your Bible and you just say, Jesus says this. It's not me. It's Jesus. But you've got to find that because you will seek it. Earnestly pursue love. Earnestly desire the gifts. So I want to ask you this week, will you respond by going through Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Okay, those are the chapters where these gifts are highlighted. You can read around the chapters as well. Corinthians 13 is a wonderful one. Gives you the base of it. But Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. And go ask God, Lord, how do you want me to bless whoever? Help me position. And if you get like, call it sometimes a pig in this, a farki in your harki. You know, that's if you have one of those, it's like, Lord, help me through this. Help me through this. Help me to wake up. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to wake up. Have you ever been in a sleep where you like, this is a nightmare. I need to wake up. I can't wake up. Have you ever? Yes, it's difficult. Okay, I'll finish with this one. One night, so Ina and I, we obviously sleep in the same bed. We're married, so I'm in one of those dreams, and it's like one of these gruesome guy, you know, kind of he's carrying me off to the hell, and I'm like, oh, and I open my eyes slightly, and I see like two red eyes in the corner of the room, and I'm like, Jesus, Jesus, I can't. You know, you can't speak something, so I'm like forcing myself. I've got to get out of this dream. Jeez. And Ina's like, Ruan, Ruan, what are you doing? Jesus. And she says, what's wrong? I say, do you see those eyes? And then I go back to sleep. She's like looking with the side. She can't sleep the rest of the night. Jesus helped me. Jesus showed grace to me. I'm free, you know. Oh, man. But what do you need to ask the Lord for? Where do your eyes need to open up? Not just to your blind spots, but to what God is showing. And He'll deal with the blind spots. I want to see like Jesus sees. I want to see what He sees. When I look at you, when I want to see what He sees. I want to see you and that which is behind you in terms of what God is planning. That we can cheer you on to run into the right direction. Go score the try and celebrate every time you take that next step. And say, well done. You've encouraged. And keep on doing that. Grow in your salvation. Amen. Come, let's close our eyes. I do want to ask for a physical next step for some of you. Just as I mentioned, disappointment, disillusionment, neglect, and resisting it. Maybe the resisting one at this stage would be the most difficult one for some of you. But if you identify with any one of those points there, would you take a next step and just stand up? I just want to pray with you. You're not going to stand alone. I know there are more. But I want to agree with you that this is your next step. That this is the step where the obstruction is taken out, where the heavenly surgeon, Jesus said, I do not come for those who are healthy, and I come for the sick. And Lord, I want to pray for each one here. If it be disillusionment, they were disappointed by a person or an expectation that was not met. Lord, where they've left some things and didn't give the needed attention to the gifts, or where they are resisting some work of you. I pray right now, Lord, that in their hearts you would come and heal. Lord, that this step would be one that would bless them.